Jürgen Spiel. Welcome to Winning with Data.
Thank you very much, Jake and Alec. I'm really looking forward to this conversation, and I can't wait to share the knowledge that I have.
Jake here with my co-host, Alec Coughlin. The first question I'd love to ask you, Edom, is who is going to win the African Cup of Nations? We're about 4 hours away from having all 8 quarterfinal spots. What's going to happen next?
I have 3 teams. 2 of them may be unlikely winners, and 1 perhaps maybe in the minds of people after last night's game. But the 3 finals I'm going with, one is Cape Verde versus Cote d'Ivoire. The other one is South Africa versus Cote d'Ivoire. And then the third one is Morocco versus Cote d'Ivoire. My heart is saying that I want to go for Cote d'Ivoire because they've given us a very good AFCON. They've been very hospitable. They've invested into sports in their country. So just winning this will be the icing on top of the cake. However, I'm a huge fan of South Africa. And I believe that Bafana Bafana can use winning this AFCON to really change the mentality about football in SA. Because when you go down to South Africa, it's a springbox for rugby and the Proteas in cricket that tend to get majority of the attention. But now Bafana winning it, that can be a huge, you know, checkmate. And Cape Verde, nobody really expected them to be where they are right now. You know, they're the little ants that are terrorizing you, and you don't know where they're coming from. But I would say any of these 3, but my heart is for South Africa.
Yeah, that's a great answer. You know, there's 3 excellent options: the hosts, the Cinderella, and the Rugby Nation. And our CFO is from Durban, so I know he would be with you there.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, you know, tell us about you know, the Africa Business of Sport podcast is incredible. And I'd love to understand from you, what was the process of co-founding that? What was your journey of creating and bringing it to where it is today?
So the Africa Business of Sport podcast has been running since August 2022. In February, it would be a year and a half, which is an extremely exciting journey because of what we've achieved in that period. Jabo and I, we connected divinely, and we both had a passion for 3 things. Number one, changing the narrative for sports business in Africa, because for a very long time, people really didn't talk about it. They'll just talk about the on-pitch, you know, conversations, and that's where it ends. The second thing is really just developing ourselves within sports business, because as young people, we are very hungry, you know, sports fans. Jabu is a Chelsea fan, I'm a Liverpool fan, and we love other sports as well. So really just growing within this space enables us to always, you know, increase our appetite. And then the very third thing is to empower the youth in Africa. And whenever anyone asks Jabu and I, why did we start the pod? The main thing was to educate our age mates about sports business very early on, so that by the time they get to the decision-making stages of their life, they are well-equipped to run the organizations like CAF, organizations like the top football clubs here in Africa as well, and in other federations, because we knew that if we don't do that early on, we will be left further behind. So that's why we started the pod. And within that period of time, we have 105 plus countries that tune in weekly, almost 11K streams and downloads. We've had partnership with Football Foundation for Africa, Johan Cruyff Institute. Jabu and I were present as speakers for World Football Summit in 2022 November. And we won an award in South Africa last year, the Football Challenge Sports Podcast of the Year Award. And we've been shortlisted as finalists for the Sports Podcast Awards, which the winner will be announced on 1st February. So it's really exciting to get to hear that. Being in this space, we don't take it for granted that we've been privileged to be exposed to the knowledge that we can share and attract people to really look at Africa as a hotbed for growth within sports business.
Yeah, I love that. And congratulations on all your success thus far. It sounds like there's a lot more to come. You know, you mentioned before we got online how any material that's useful has to be educational. And I think about that a lot, where part of our mission in having this podcast is to help expose, you know, partners and potential partners of what we're doing to the way that other businesses operate, especially in terms of how they use data. So what have been your keys to making your podcast successful, and how has that involved educating the audience?
I think for a 2.5-year period, We were individually developing ourselves as great podcasters by spending time listening to some of the very best, like the High Performance Podcast, the Diary of a CEO podcast. I particularly love a podcast by the Rolls-Royce team, which is called Ghost Stories, and where they were documenting when they were developing the Rolls-Royce Ghost Car. I love to listen to a host of genre when it comes to podcasting, because I realized that the more you listen, the more you develop a trend and a template for how people go about their hosting. So for us, we realized that the data out there said that when it comes to sports biz, not only are you giving information, it has to be information that is analytical. So you ask the right kind of questions, questions that will twist the narrative and enable people to think in a particular way. And I remember when I was doing the research on that, I realized that questions that tend to be non-ended and one where you can bring about debates tend to lead to not only, you know, more fascination of conversation, but then ideas at the end of the day. So that's how I implemented AI and data into starting the journey. And we've realized Jabo and I are particular users of ChatGPT, you know, just really asking the questions. What are the interesting sports topics out there? What are some of the best brands doing the exciting things? What are some of the key roles within sports business and how to perform very well in that? So when we have all of these things, it enables us to determine the kind of guests we bring onto the podcast, the kind of topics to have, and how to even structure our posts on social media. Because again, like with LinkedIn, when you have a page, you can go and look at the data between your page and your potential competitors and how particular posts are helping them to get maximum reactions and how particular posts, you know, really garner the conversation going. So that is one of the key things we use in making our game better. And it's the very exciting part that I like. Prior to using Riverside for our podcast, anytime we record, we would use Adobe AI to really improve the sound, to take out filter words, to really take out the noise in the background, make the sound very sharp. And when we upload that, it's good quality for the people who are listening to. So for us, we use AI every time we're in our work. And without that, we really wouldn't be where we are today.
Those are some really, really good pieces of advice. I wonder, coming back to like the African Cup of Nations being such a showcase for sport, especially football or soccer, how do you see African sports businesses using technology like AI in the coming years?
Prior to this conversation, I was just asking myself that how can we as Africa really leverage on the superstars and the super teams that we have to be an important part of esports, because we know that esports is extremely huge in the West. And then it came to me that, for instance, if CAF had gone out there to partner with EA and developed a particular competition for the AFCON, where people like myself, like you, if you're a gamer who may not necessarily be on the ground to watch the games, but can play the games online, then you'll be able to see the number of people that are interacting with not only the competition, but the competition as a brand. So AI would help you to, you know, really just be a part of that conversation. And we also see that with the technology like VAR, I think this is the first or second competition we have in where VAR is being used and being used very well. We need to be able to develop the right infrastructure for our internal leagues after the AFCON. So one of the legacy projects can be that since now VAR has been introduced in Ivory Coast for the competition, perhaps it can be used for the local league as well. So CAF can also use this competition as a way of leveraging on the excellence when it comes to improved gameplay on the pitch. So now that will force member associations, okay, if I want to next time bid to be the one to host the AFCON, I need to make sure that I have this technology in my stadiums, in my country, always ready, you know, to be used. So that is how CAF and other brands within sports business here in Africa can leverage on AI. Another thing that they can use is the entertainment industry. I was saying the other time that we have some of the best superstars on the continent, the Burna Boys, Tims, Davido, Wizkid, who really are part of a global industry when it comes to the music industry. How can we create links between sports and entertainment and create initiatives where more people are wanting to use AI to be a part of activations? Let's say, for example, if my favorite musician is Burna Boy and I'm always playing EA Sports, if there's a competition out there with, you know, EA Sports, with Burna Boy, and I can use him and his likeness in a game through maybe a VR set or some form of virtual reality that is only made best by the strength of AI, this can increase the interaction with not only the AFCON or football in Africa, but with sports in general. It's all about looking at how to maximize your ripple effect, because this competition will be done and dusted by 12th February, but you can learn so much from it and include AI to just bring out activations that will continue bringing people on board and wanting them to interact with you.
Well, I'm curious, who is your very favorite athlete out of Africa right now? Maybe one per sport, cricket, soccer, rugby.
For me, football, everyone who is close to me knows that it's Mo Salah. I'm a Liverpool fan, so that's him. When it comes to rugby, it's Siya Kolisi, the Springboks captain. And I think when it comes to athletics, I have to go with Kipyoge. He's just been a real ball of fresh air with what he does with long distance running here in Africa and changing the mentality. I think these three people really shine a very good light on sports here in Africa.
Yeah, Siya Kolisi has an amazing story.
100%.
And what advice do you have to young professionals in sports business?
I'm always saying that as a sports business individual, you need to very early on in your journey adopt AI to help you with research, analysis, and making the right decisions. So for instance, if I am the business development officer of West Ham Football Club, during the period that they won the Conference League, their kit sponsor was Umbro, and I know they have a deal with Umbro for a particular period. Now, should West Ham be able to do well this season in Europe and maybe finish in the top five in the Premier League, they can use AI to do analysis where they ask AI, okay, so using six parameters, which is innovation, connection to fans, access of new markets, maybe legacy projects, and also women's football. Use these as five factors, put it into AI and ask AI, suggest to me the best kit sponsor for the next phase of our development. AI can go in there, do that research for you, and tell you maybe depending on all these six things, you'd want to consider these factors that make either Nike or Puma or Adidas a better kit sponsor moving forward. So AI here just helps you as a business development officer. Rather than you going out there to do the research and be on the ground, you can put in key factors. It goes through the system, does the research for you, and gives you the best decisions to make. So for me, it's a no-brainer. Why would you want to stress and take maybe 3 months to make a decision that you can use perhaps 2 weeks when you have the computing ability of AI and decision making? So for me, on the business side, always want to use AI because it makes your job easier and it makes you much more intelligent. The good thing about AI is that it will cause you to give it the right bait or the right factors to use for its research. It can't make research on its own without the right parameters being put in through. So the more you use AI, the better you become at determining the right hypothesis and parameters to use for it to give you the best decision making.
I was talking to a CMO of a large international sports organization yesterday, and we were talking about opportunities to create AI-enabled experiences that could be branded with modern, you know, sponsorship and marketing, you know, brands that are forward-thinking. Have you seen anything that's really interesting out there that's an AI-enabled fan experience that either exists just in general or one that's been powered by a really, you know, innovative brand that you were impressed by?
First of all, my second favorite sport is tennis, and my favorite Grand Slam is Wimbledon. And last year for Wimbledon, the championship 2023, they had a number of exciting activations on ground at Church Road, where the famous Center Court is. And one of the activations they had was when you come in as a fan, you can play a game VR-wise, right? So I think it was either with American Express or one of the other brands that they had in their list of partners who made the experience very well and interesting for, their audience. They had an activation with Fortnite as well. I remember I watched a video where Andy Murray was playing with one of the ladies who was presenting through this initiative, you know, talking about where Roblox comes in and where Fortnite comes in as well. So giving fans the ability to play some form of tennis and enjoy cookies and cream and, you know, use the main things that really are symbolic for Wimbledon within that AI experience, I was like, I will most definitely want to go back in there and experience it very well. And another thing that perhaps can be one of the experiences that they create for tennis lovers like myself and my dad, who really, you know, birthed that passion in me, we would like to experience some of the groundbreaking finals in the past, right? And imagine AI gives you some form of VR where I'm sitting in my home here in Ghana, but when I interact with this, whether it's VR set or something on my screen, I can be in Center Court experiencing the emotion of that particular final and how it ended. That is what fan experience can really get to if people just say, you know what, let's give it to them. Because some people will not have the chance to travel to Church Road and experience Wimbledon and Center Court, but you can give them that experience from past and, you know, present ones and still monetize that. And then they would feel as though they're a part of the experience.
Yeah, I love that. And tennis is my favorite sport to play. So you struck a chord there. And cookies and cream is my favorite ice cream. So we're definitely
lovely
in the same language. Who's your favorite tennis player now? And who's your dad's favorite tennis player?
So my dad over the years has fallen in love with people like Pete Sampras.
Oh, yeah.
Andre Agassi. Boris Becker, but his favorite, I know for a fact, is Roger Federer. I mean, that is my favorite as well. I have a newsletter on LinkedIn called Wimbledon Stories with Adam Spiel, and Federer is the picture thumbnail. He's my GOAT. I think he's the best. I don't care what people say about Djokovic, which is their own opinion, but when it comes to the grace and the exciting role of playing tennis and some of the very best moments. If your favorite Grand Slam is Wimbledon, you would know that Federer is the poster boy, the golden boy of Wimbledon. So for me, it's him.
Well, hold on. So it took me a while to appreciate Federer because he's just too good. You know, he makes it look too easy. The Joker is a different species. He's incredible. But we're very fortunate to have seen all those guys playing at once.
This was the first Grand Slam final in almost 20 years to not have one of the big three in it.
100%. For me, the moment that I saw the pairing between Yannick and Djokovic, I just knew that Djokovic isn't going to take this one. Because if you look at the journey of the up-and-coming, you know, superstars, one thing you see is consistency. They may fail a certain stage, but the next stage, they go a level up. And I don't like Djokovic. I don't want him to extend, you know, the number of trophies. So I'm just happy that, you know, Sinner took it. But my current guy is Carlito. I love the fact that he destroyed Djokovic, Carlos Alcaraz.
He's special. But you call him Carlito? Is that his nickname?
Yes, that is his nickname. I follow him on Instagram. And then most of the people around him who talk about him and whatnot call him Carlito.
All right, so Carlito's Way. I bet you haven't seen the movie because I'm going to date myself, but you got to check that out. And Alcaraz is amazing. I'm with you. I'm a big fan of his. But yeah, Carlito's Way. Carlito, I like that. Maybe I should spend more time on Instagram. Jake, what do you think?
Twitter isn't enough.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think that's all we have for you today. Edam Spio, thank you so much for coming on Winning with Data.
You're most welcome, guys. I've really enjoyed having this conversation. And hopefully we can have many more developed synergies and really see where we can both benefit from our podcast together and create, you know, content. It's always about content that is informative, educates people, and is engaging. And once all of this is considered, I'm always willing to be a part.
Absolutely.